So once again, Merry Christmas. So today really starts the Christmas season. I know some of us have been probably saying that, well, maybe since like Halloween or 4th of July, but Christmas starts today with the vigil of this Mass. So by 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon, the Christmas season truly and really began. And this day of Christmas, we will celebrate over 8 calendar days. It's called an octave. The church knows that it's impossible for us to fully embrace the joy of this event in just one 24-hour period. So these next 8 days until next Sunday, we will celebrate as though it's this one day, one long day. And then when that one long day is finished, it's January 1st, the new year begins. And so things are changing tonight because of what's taking place in the manger. And then the season lasts until the baptism of Jesus in a couple of weeks. The true Christmas season just begins today. So don't throw out your tree when you get home tonight. Leave the lights up. Leave the decoration. Allow the world to see what true celebration is. That we prepare for the feast, and then we truly enjoy the feast. You know, because so many of us, if we've been listening to the radio, we're already tired of Christmas music. We're probably sick of candy. Well, maybe not, but definitely not chocolate. But you know, like we feast when we're supposed to be fasting. We gorge ourselves. We overindulge. And then when it comes time to truly enjoy, we're sick of it. This is why Mother Church gave us those weeks, those days of Advent, to slow down, to be quiet, to purify ourselves, so that when the baby is placed in the manger, we can truly exult and with joy celebrate this holy night that we sang so beautifully about, O holy night. It says, we were pining. We were laying in sin, but our hearts were pining until he appeared and the soul felt his worth. I don't know if there could be a truer statement. It's almost gospel truth, even though it's in a song. That we lie and sin, but we're pining, we're desiring, we're hungry, we're thirsty. We want something, but we don't know what, and we're just like a ravenous wolf, just looking for anything that we might gorge ourselves on until he appears, and the soul felt its worth. This is what Christ does. This is what the birth of Jesus does for each one of us. It reorients us. It properly orients us towards what is good, true, and beautiful. Because we know the effect of sin in our life. It disorients us. From the very first moments of the sin in the garden, there's been disorder in the human life. Adam and Eve are fighting with each other. They were hiding from God. And they were dishonest with themselves. This effect of sin that no matter what is there with us until Christ comes and the soul knows its worth. And that's what St. Paul said in that second letter to Titus. The grace of God has appeared, saving all, and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, to live temporally, justly, and devoutly in this age as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a few moments after the consecration, when we stand to pray the Our Father, the priest has that little prayer he prays, and we pray and we're waiting in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior. Because he's already come, but he hasn't come yet again. So we're living in this in-between time where he has appeared. And when we allow his appearance to be a light in our lives, we know the truth of who we are because we know the truth of who he is. We know the world is crazy. What we used to know to be true, things that were without any question, have been turned upside down. And we can begin to doubt anything and everything. Just basic biology, basic human truths. We've seen to forget because we're hungry and we're thirsty for something and we don't know what it is. And so we latch on to the first thing that gives us attention, the first thing that gives us affection, the first thing that gives us satisfaction. But we're pining. We're hungry for more. God created you with a hunger and a thirst for Him. But because of the disorder of sin in our lives, we can't always know that. And we say, when we study theology, the effect of sin, that we have a darkened intellect, we have a weakened will, and we have disordered passions, unruly passions. Meaning what? That my intellect is darkened. I don't know what I'm supposed to know, and I know things I shouldn't know. My will is weak. That I can't choose the things that are good, but I'm very readily and easily able to choose the things that are bad. And then unruly, disordered passions, the things that should excite me, the things that should bring me joy, like a baby in a manger, I can easily ignore and disregard. And the things I should be disdaining and turning my head from are attractive to me, and I go after them. I'm disordered. But Christ has come to reorder us. And when we allow the light of Christ to penetrate our hearts, He will put us in the proper perspective. That when we listen to what Mother Church teaches us, because Jesus says, if they, us, listen to you, the church, then that means they're listening to me. And if they're listening to me, then they're listening to the Father. So God created us. He knows what's good for us. So when we listen to the church, we're listening to our Creator tell us what's good for us. And this is how we come to know the truth. And by knowing the truth, then we can choose the truth. We can act on it. We can go for it. And by repeatedly choosing the good, our passions are properly ordered. Anyone who's tried to start working out or start exercising knows it's not fun and you hate it. And you have to force yourself to choose what you think is good. But after a while, to not do it feels bad. You've properly ordered yourself towards an exercise routine, towards a workout regimen. You've decided something was good, you chose it, and now you feel good. The same thing happens with our soul, with our spirit, with God. But it's absolutely true. There's no question. God loves you. God created you to be in a relationship with Him. And tonight shows that. It proves that. That no matter what, He will not abandon you. No matter what choices you may have made, no matter what ideas you may have clinged on to, allow the light of Christ just a little bit of room in your heart, and it will permeate the entirety of it. You've ever sat, we were sitting in the dark earlier. Every little light was visible. Every little light began to make itself known. That's how the light of Christ works in your life. Whether you're in pitch black, which no one is, or just dim light, the light of Christ will come. And just like once He was placed in the manger, miraculously the lights came on in the church, when He's placed in the manger of your heart, the light of Christ will illuminate your life. This is the promise that Christ has given you. This is the promise that we're celebrating today and every day. He came in a dirty, stinky, smelly animal feeding trough. What will He not do for you? Your heart can't be worse than that. Your decision you've made can't be worse than that. God was not scared to go there. He's not scared to go anywhere. Don't be afraid. We heard it in the gospel. Do not be afraid. Allow this truth to change your life. This is what you need. This is what you're hungry for. This is what you're pining for. The life-saving truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. What? Saves us from our sin. This is what we're celebrating today and every day. And Jesus didn't just come in this obscure manger 2,000 years ago. He comes to us every day in this obscure little piece of bread, the Holy Eucharist. In a few moments when I say those prayers, what was bread is now God. The God of the universe that created everything, that created you, comes to you in the most obscure, humble, simplest thing you can imagine so that you would have the confidence to approach him. He said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life. You are made for life. We can say that Christmas is the birthday of life, and it's life that we're celebrating today. Don't settle for anything else, anything less, ever again. If you need to repent, repent. Say yes to this invitation. Say yes to Jesus, who wants to set you free, to live as a free son and daughter of the Father who created you. Let him invite you. Say yes to this. Say yes to life. Amen.